Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Let's stand and sing.
We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne. With humble hearts into His presence, we bring an offering of song. Glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the song of the redeemed. We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne. With humble hearts into His presence, we bring an offering of song. Glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing the song of the redeemed.
Amen. Please be seated. Welcome, church. All of you that are here, I'm so thankful to be here with you. My name is Carson, if you don't know me. I am one of the blessed people that get to sing up here, so it's a blessing. I am now going to pray us into the worship service, so let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this day. This day that only You have made, the day that You have allowed us to assemble in Your name, the day that You have created for this space to occur for us to worship Your name, Lord. Thank You for giving us each and every one of the people that is in this room, and thank You for the church that is global. Thank You for our small part in that church, and let us be a big impact in our community. And Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I forgot to ask if there were any upcoming events, but I put the slide in there. Are there any upcoming events? I don't think there are. There are some, but in the making. Yeah, okay. And I also want to pray for the offering, just to change it up a little bit. So let's pray for the offering. Dear Heavenly Father, please bless the monies that are raised today. The monies that are raised today go for Your purpose and for Your kingdom, Lord. Let the monies be raised not be for our own selfish conceit, but for Your kingdom here on earth, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. There are ways to give. I forgot to mention there is a collection plate in the back, but also online. So if you need help with that, find someone that knows how to do that. All right, we're going to sing a few songs before we hit our communion point. So let's stand and sing these next three songs.
Hear the holy roar of God resound. Watch the waters part before us now. Come and see what He has done for us. Tell the world of His great love. Our God is a God who saves. Our God is a God who saves. Let God arise. Let God arise. Our God reigns now and forever. He reigns now and forever. Arise. Let God arise. Our God reigns now and forever. He reigns now and forever. His enemies will run for shore. The church will stand, she will endure. holds the keys of life, our Lord. Death has no sting, no final word. Our God is a God who saves. Our God is a God who saves. Let God arise. Let God arise. Our God reigns now and forever. He reigns now and forever. Arise. Let God arise. Our God reigns now and forever. He reigns now and forever. Our God is a God who saves. 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 Let God arise. Let God arise. Our God reigns now and forever. He reigns now and forever. Arise. Let God arise. Our God reigns now and forever. He reigns now and forever. Let God arise.
Amen.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I am the Lord that strengthens thee. I am the Lord that strengthens thee. I am the Lord that strengthens thee. I am mine no more. I am mine no more. I've been bought with blood. I am mine no more. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. And he rules my life. Jesus is my Lord. He will come again. He will come again. And he'll take me home. He will come again. I am mine no more. I am mine no more. I've been bought with blood. I am mine no more.
Please be seated.
Good morning. I just want us to focus on God's word this morning. I was thinking about what my communion comments would be. And as I thought, I thought to myself, instead of mixing words, instead of trying to create, let the Creator speak through me. So in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27 through 29, it reads, "So then, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." And then verse 23 through 26, it reads, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Please bow with me. Lord, as we partake in this communion, Lord, as we gather together, we remember why we are here. We remember that it is not because of a building. It's not because we are trying to save ourselves, Lord. It's because you have saved us, Lord. Sometimes it's good that we fall into this pattern, Lord, but the pattern is there not to simply do it and go, but to remember that you have died on the cross for our sins, that you shed, that your body was pierced on the cross, Lord, that you took the lashes, that your head was pierced with the crown of thorns, Lord, that you gave your body for us so that we could live. And we remember that not only did you sacrifice yourself, but that you overcame. 3 days later, you rose from the dead, Lord. And that is what we celebrate. That is what we remember. That is what we reflect on, Lord, that we are here to remember that sacrifice and that you overcame the very villain in our life, Lord, death, the very thing we could never overcome, and you gave us life. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. And quickly, if there's anyone that does not have a cup, please let one of us know and we can get one to you really quickly. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Please bow with me. Lord, as we partake in communion, we proclaim your death until you come again, Lord. We proclaim that we know you have given your life for us, that you shed your blood for us, that you gave your body for us, not because of anything that we have done, Lord, but because of your grace, because of your love. And as we partake today, we pray that we focus on ourselves, not just to partake because we come on Sunday, every Sunday, and we fall into the ritual, Lord, but that ritual is there to provide us a deeper reflection on our life, a deeper reflection on you, that we can build our relationship with you, Lord. And because you have saved us, we pray that we go out into the world and be the light you've called us to be the salt that you've called us to be. Not because what we do will save us, Lord, but because you have saved us. So again, Lord, as we reflect on ourselves and reflect on what you've given us and reflect on that sacrifice that you've given us, Lord, we pray that we focus on doing what you created us to do, Lord, doing the good works in your name, Lord, because you have given us everything. Life eternal, something we could never have achieved on our own, Lord. We thank you and we pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.
All right, age
2 to second grade. I will not say walk because you won't listen to me anyway, but please walk to your classes. Good luck, teachers. It's going to be a full class. Let's stand before Chris comes up and blesses us with his sermon. Let's stand and sing this song.
This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground, for the Lord is present, and where he is holy. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground, for the Lord is present, and where he is holy. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in his presence on holy ground.
Seated. Earlier this week, I had the opportunity to go over and visit with Greg, and I jokingly said as he was sitting in the hospital bed that you'd do about anything not to hear me preach, and he came anyway, so there you go. Good to see you this morning. Glad you're here. Glad everyone's here. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father God, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have to gather together, for the freedom that we have to worship here in this building without any fear of repercussion, to be able to study your word together, to fellowship with other Christians. And we pray that all that we do is pleasing to you, Lord. And just bless us as we're here today and help us to glean some wisdom from your scriptures and apply them to our life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. So, as I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about this morning, I just kind of looked around this week, and it was 4th of July week, so I thought, let's spend a little bit of time this morning talking about freedom. You know, each year at this time, we set aside some time to focus on our independence that we gained nearly 250 years ago. And as I was preparing my thoughts, I came across some interesting thoughts I thought I'd share with you, some interesting facts of the times back nearly 250 years ago. Did you know that John Adams was not happy that July 4th was selected as the day that we would celebrate our independence? He actually wanted it to be July 2nd. July 2nd, close. And he would actually turn down invitations to appear for 4th of July events. I did not know that. Both John Adams and Thomas Jefferson died on July 4th of 1826, which was the 50-year anniversary of the adoption of the Declaration of Independence. See, he would have missed that by 2 days if it had his way on July 2nd instead of July 4th. What do you think the number one killer was during the Revolutionary War? Anybody have an idea? Exactly. All right. You know, it wasn't gunfire, it wasn't a cannon, it wasn't bayonets or swords. It was actually disease and infection that was the leading killer during the war. Richard Lord Jones was the youngest soldier to fight in the Revolutionary War. He enlisted and fought at the ripe old age of 10. 10 years old. Older than some, or younger than some of the kids that just went back to class. Approximately 5% of the soldiers that fought for our freedom as part of the Continental Army were of African descent. That was nearly 8,000 soldiers that fought in the Continental Army that were of African descent. And then finally, Deborah Sampson became a hero of the war when she disguised herself as a man to join the Patriot Forces. She was the only woman to earn a full military pension for her service during the Revolutionary War. For over 2 years, Samson's true gender had escaped detection despite several close calls. At one point, she received a gash in her head from a sword, and she was shot through her left hip, and she actually removed the pistol ball herself to avoid detection. She was ultimately discovered a year and a half into her service in Philadelphia when she became ill during an epidemic and taken to a hospital and had lost consciousness. But it was a good ending to the story. She received an honorable discharge on October 23rd, 1783, returned home to Massachusetts, married Benjamin Gannett, and had three lovely children. So I was thinking about, what was it, what was the reason? Why were these people willing to risk their lives, to give their lives? What was the goal? What was the reason that they were, I mean, to give everything? And it was obviously, they truly believed in independence. They truly wanted freedom. So what is freedom, really? I looked up the word in the dictionary, and it has your basic, the quality, your state of being free. I was like, thanks for that. Absence of coercion or constraint in choice or action. Liberation from slavery or restraint from the power of another. The quality or state of being exempt or released from something onerous. And finally, the capacity to exercise choice. The capacity to exercise choice. We all like to have choices, right? Nobody likes to get up and think, this is what I have to do today and there's nothing I can do about it. I have no choice. Everybody wants choices in life. So I was thinking about freedom, the freedom that that is provided to us by our country. Then I started thinking about my freedom, my individual freedom, right? So for me, I think back to my childhood. We don't give our children a lot of freedom, right? You don't let your 2 or 3 year old play in a kitchen with the oven on. It's not smart. And when we give too much freedom to kids, they get hurt, right? So I was fortunate. I was raised in a household with two parents that cared for me, that looked out for my well-being. I had a sister that was slightly overbearing, but also looked out for my best interests as well. And I can honestly say that no part of my childhood did I feel coerced or constrained or, a slave. I wasn't enslaved or restrained or anything like that. So I didn't feel like I was, I didn't have freedom. But as I recognize looking back that as I got older, I was given more freedom. But it wasn't until one day I turn 18 years old and I go away to college and I thought, freedom at last, right? I get to do whatever I want today, all right? I can just sleep in, I can study, I could go to a party, I could work out, I could do all these different things. Needless to say though, unfortunately, I didn't always make the best decisions. In fact, I didn't just exercise freedom. I actually had a different spelling for the word freedom. Free dumb. I was free to make dumb decisions. That's basically what I did throughout my time at college and for the next couple years after that. I did not make wise decisions. And that's part of the whole process of having freedoms, right? Is we get to make choices. And we're not always going to make the right ones. We're not always going to make good decisions. And you know, fortunately, we're also not always going to make bad decisions. So we're granted these freedoms from our country. We're also granted freedom as we grow older from our parents. But then we're also granted freedom as Christians. We've all heard the phrase freedom in Christ, right? But what does it really mean, freedom in Christ? I'm going to take a second. There's a couple different places in the scripture I'm going to focus on in the New Testament where there was a tension between what Jesus was teaching and what the Jewish people at the time believed. In Acts chapter 15, verse 1, it says, certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, unless you were circumcised according to the customs of Moses, you cannot be saved. Further down in the same chapter says, "Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear?" The book of John also discusses the same issue of the Jewish Christians at the time that were teaching Christians that they needed to obey the tenets of the Mosaic law. John chapter 8, starting in verse 31, says, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him, 'We're Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?' Jesus replied, 'Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin.'" See, you see, Jesus came to fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament and to free us from the Mosaic law. He also came because God knew that we are going to be slaves of sin. As Christians, we must acknowledge that sin is more powerful than we are, and that the only way we can overcome sin is through the power of Jesus. You know, sometimes I don't think I let my humility, I don't have enough humility to recognize that sin is more powerful than I am. We need Jesus to overcome sin. We can't do it ourselves. Without Jesus, we are slaves to sin. Every person in the world is born free to choose. And at some point in life, every person will sin. And then at that point, we become enslaved to sin. Have you ever really given much thought to being a slave to sin? You know, Jesus warned us that the mind is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, we often know what is right and what is wrong. But I know, I have had problems in my life where I still act out and live in a way that I know is wrong, despite the fact that I don't want to. I'm going to take a few minutes, and so I want to think about, how do we stop being a slave to sin this morning? How do we really become free from sin? And I thought I'd give my own thoughts, but then I realized quickly that I can't do any better than Romans chapter 6. So I know it's a little bit long. I'm going to read the entire chapter, but it's only 20-some verses, and then we'll talk about a little bit of it. "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that, though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I'm using an example from your everyday life because your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness." I know there was a lot there, but there's a couple places that I want to kind of hone in on, and I want to start really, actually I have 12, but I really want to go back after I read it again just now and pull up we'll start in verse 11. So, Romans 6:11. He says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive in God, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. The words that kind of jumped out at me were, do not let sin reign. You know, when I think of the word reign, I think of a king, right? Something that has authority over us. And, you know, as a person growing up, that obviously to this day we still struggle with sin, but you don't recognize that when we have sin in our life, it reigns in us. It rules us. I mean, that's kind of a big thought. You know, I never really thought of sin reigning over me until I actually really had a relationship with Jesus. You know, the irony is before I had a relationship with Jesus, I didn't feel like I was enslaved to anything. In fact, the untruth that I believed is that I had all kinds of freedoms. Right, I could sleep in on Sunday morning. My friends that went to church had to get up and go on Sunday or Wednesday. They didn't get to go to wrestling practice or somewhere fun on Wednesday night or whatever. I couldn't live the lifestyle I wanted maybe to on Friday or Saturday night. There were all these things that I thought I couldn't do because I was, there were all these things that I thought I could do because, I'm not a Christian. I have all these freedoms. And the irony is that I later became a slave to those things. I later realized that, you know, I'm living a lifestyle that's not good. I'm living a lifestyle where maybe I'll take a shortcut at work that I shouldn't take, or maybe I'll cheat on the test next Thursday so I can make sure I pass the class. And I knew those things weren't good for me. They weren't going to make me the person I wanted to be or a better person. But they were the things that I at the time I was willing to do. And then at some point I realized I don't want to live like this, and yet we find ourselves continuing to take those shortcuts, to live that life, and we become a slave to that lifestyle. We continue to do these things even though we don't want to. And so it's kind of funny though that at least for me, I always had this feeling that Christians don't have the freedoms that I have, when I actually became a slave to that lifestyle that I didn't even want to live later on in life. So, you know, as we look at how do we change our behavior, I think it's fairly common theory that you have to be able to replace, a bad habit with a new habit, right? So if we say, hey, we don't want sin in our life, but we don't replace those things with Jesus, we're not going to have any luck. We're not going to have any success. To successfully replace a sinful lifestyle, we have to fully immerse ourselves into Jesus. We have to follow his example and love others as he did and instructed us to do. You know, many of the writers in the New Testament recognize this, and they actually, as they wrote letters to the churches, for example, Titus and James and Peter, they would actually write the letter and introduce themselves as, I am a servant and an apostle of Jesus. And I was actually looking, and the Greek word that was used was doulos, I think, which was actually not servant, but was actually the word for slave. So they were basically writing to these churches and saying, I am a slave and an apostle of Jesus. They recognized that they had to be all in for Jesus. So, when we decide that we want to replace that sinful nature, that sinful life, we no longer want to be a slave to sin and we want to be a slave to righteousness, what does it look like? There's a few verses I was going to point to. The first one is in Hebrews 5, chapter 9. It reads, once made perfect, he, Jesus, became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. So if we are no longer a slave to sin and we are a slave to righteousness, we will obey Jesus, right? It will be evident to those that we interact with that we are obeying Jesus. He is our master. He is who we serve. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, "To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." Jesus was an example for us, right? And so those of us who are slaves to righteousness, those of us that are slaves to Christ, are going to live as he did. It is going to be obvious to those people that are around us that we are living like Christ did. We are loving like Christ did. We are serving like Christ did. And then the last verse here I was going to mention is later down in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "We must serve one another in the same way you who are younger submit yourself to your elders. All of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble." We will be living a life of service. We will be humble people who are serving those around us. You know, one of the things I've tried to teach my kids growing up is, and I think generally it's okay to teach them this, but I've later, and unfortunately some of our kids are old enough that they've left home, and I just kind of realized that moderation is key. That's what we all, you know, you've got to make moderation. You don't want to be too involved with a specific thing. You don't want to let work take over your life, right? We workaholics. Is it okay to have a glass of wine? Probably. Is it okay to drink 10 bottles of wine tonight? Probably not. Is it, everything we teach our kids is about moderation. You can study too much, right? You know, you need to be well-rounded. We teach our kids moderation is key. But what the scriptures say with regard to our lives and whether or not we are slaves to sin or slaves to righteousness, it's counter to that, right? This is not a moderation approach when we look at our faith and our lives. It's all or nothing. When we decide that we are going to live for Christ, we are letting Jesus, the verse said in there in Romans 6, reign in our hearts. It is an all-in proposition. We can't dabble in our faith. We must live wholeheartedly for Jesus. And it's an easy decision, right? The options that he paints in the scripture, there's not a whole bunch, it's not a complex formula. There's not a whole list of things you can choose from. Should I do A, B, C, or maybe all the above? F looks good, J, whatever. No, it is one or the other, right? You are either a slave to sin or you're a slave to Jesus. And that's it. And the bad news is the default is the wrong one. If we aren't a slave to righteousness, we are a slave to sin. We let sin rule our lives. And so we have to make a conscious decision as Christians that we are all in with Christ, right? We are going to let him reign in our hearts. He is our ruler. We no longer want to live that lifestyle where we can dabble in all the things and get into the fringes and say, hey, we're probably still okay. We're probably still going to make it. We're probably still going to go to heaven. That can't be our mindset. That can't be the way that we live our lives. We ultimately have to choose to give our lives fully to Jesus and walk by the Spirit. And again, that is an easy decision, right? But it's hard to do sometimes. And so today, I wanted to take a few minutes and talk about freedom, right? We are blessed. We're blessed to be here today in a building where we can talk about these things without someone coming in and stopping us. We have all these freedoms to do what we want. Our country gives us freedoms. Our as we grow up, our parents give us freedom. And ultimately, most importantly, we were given an option because of Jesus. And that option was, hey, look, you can be a slave to sin. You can run on that hamster wheel all day long and never really be fulfilled in life, or you can be a slave to righteousness. And the good news is when we choose to be a slave to righteousness, that we reap the benefit of eternal life with Jesus in heaven. So as we close today, It's my prayer and hope that each one of you has done, has already decided. But we, you know, we need to decide that. In general, we need to apply it to our life, but and make a decision. It's a one-time decision in a way, but it's also a daily decision, right? We get up each morning. We get to decide, all right, what are we going to do with today? Another freedom. It's not like a one-time thing. Oh, I'm going to be a Christian and I'm done. No, that's not the end. That's the beginning, right? And so each day after we have given our lives to Christ, we've said, Jesus, we want you to reign in our heart. We don't want sin to reign in our heart. Each day we get up and we get to decide, what are we going to do with today? What are we going to do with today? Are we going to serve others? Are we going to live in a humble way, in a loving way? Are we going to love others like Christ? Is it going to be obvious to others that we've given our lives to Jesus? Are we going to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit? Or are we going to go about our day and be distracted by the world and, you know, scroll through TikTok all day or whatever it is that we do to waste our time? And so each day we make that decision. And it's my hope and prayer that each of you have decided that you don't want to be a slave to sin and that you recognize that you're one or the other. All right? There's no option C. You are either a slave to sin. I'm not a slave to anybody. That's not one of the choices. All right? It is a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. And so it's my hope and prayer that you will decide that you want to be a slave to righteousness. You want Jesus to be your ruler and he'll reign in your heart. And, you know, if in just a minute Carson's going to come up and lead us in a closing song. And if you haven't decided that and you want to come forward, you can come forward during that song or see us after church and you can put on Christ in baptism. Or if you need prayers of the church, we're also happy to do that too. But,
there is beyond the azure blue, please stand, a God concealed from human sight. He tinted skies with heavenly hue and framed the worlds with his great might. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive.
From dust our God.
From dust our God.
Created man. He is our God.
He is our God.
The great I am.
The great I am.
There
was a long
time ago. A God whose voice the prophets heard. He is the God that we should know, who speaks from his inspired word. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God.
God,
the great I am, secure his life from mortal mind. God holds the germ within his hand. Though men may search, they cannot find, for God alone does understand. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God,
from dust our God,
created man.
Created man.
He is our God.
He is our God.
The great I am.
The great I am.
Our God, whose son upon a tree a life was willing there to give, that he from sin might set men free and evermore with him could live. There is a God, he is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. He is our God.
He is our God.
The great I am.
The great I am.
It's good to see everyone out, especially
see Greg out today. He's had a pretty eventful week, I believe, and I think he would agree with that. And Chris, thank you for your message. We enjoy freedoms here in this country, and we enjoy the freedoms that we have through Christ and through his death. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, we give you thanks for this, another day of life, and for your love, mercy, and grace. We thank you, Father, for the freedoms that we do enjoy in this country, the freedom to assemble here today and to not have to worry about those things that others may have to worry about throughout the world, of someone barging in, placing them under arrest, or just otherwise disrupting the service. Father, we pray for those of our members that are sick and suffering that couldn't be here. We pray that you'd be with each one, that you'd lift them up, that you would help them as they have need. We pray for those, Father, that are traveling, that you would watch over them and give them safe passage. Father, we pray that you would bless each one that's gathered here today, that you would help us to live a life that reflects your love. Father, we thank you for Christ Jesus. We thank you that through his death, burial, and resurrection, we have that hope. I hope of an eternal home in your kingdom. Father, as we depart from this place, we pray that you go with us, watch over us, help us to do those things in our community and our neighborhoods that would glorify you. For these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.